You're listening to the Amp Pod Interview Edition, featuring Campo, Nico, and...
Thank you for the introduction, Lexi, and hello and welcome to the Amp Pod. Today we're talking with Campo, Nico, and before we start, I want to say that this podcast can also be heard as an audio version only. Link will be shown in the description. So, today we are talking with Mr. Campo, Nico, a guy who's doing YouTube, Instagram, and a little bit of everything. Hello, Campo, Nico.
Hey, Alex, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you here on the show, or it's a pleasure having you here. Is this your first time you're doing a and interview thing?
Yeah, this is the first time I'm doing something like this, so it's pretty awkward as a first time.
No, it's not awkward, I do remember my first interview as well. It was a good time, good nervous times, but yeah, so Campo, Nico, to all of those listening in who don't know who are you?
I'm Nico. I'm from the Netherlands, 34 year old, dad of three, and I have an amazing ant room with over 30 colonies.
Oh, and as far as I remember, you also make a YouTube video here and there.
Yeah, I don't get my deadlines as much as I would like, but yes, I do. Make videos, and I recently discovered shorts because of lack of time. I'm still able to post some updates about my colonies.
Yeah, so that's a nice
about
thing.
It, yes.
So, how long have you been keeping ants for, and why did you start?
Ooh, I think I started about 3.5 years ago. My best friend was over with me. I know him for half my life, maybe more. And he knows I was scared of ants. And he told me about Ants Canada, that there was this guy on YouTube showing his ant colonies and that it was possible to get your own colony. So that got me really curious, starting with my own Lasius.
Lasius Niger, that is?
Or... Yeah, Lasius Niger. Yeah, I normally I don't write it down, Niger, or pronounce it, because YouTube is very strict about it. But yes, it was Lasius Niger.
Yeah, people have gotten trouble before. At least I've heard the stories. I've never really seen it myself. But yeah, so this first colony, did they manage to thrive, or did they manage to have this fate of a first colony?
I didn't put them in hibernation, so that's my first big major mistake I made. I had them in a big nest, in a way too big nest, and I didn't put them in hibernation. So I believe right after winter, I noticed there was no movement at all. So yeah, it was quite horrifying, and I still can't imagine why people keep calling them a beginner ants, because to be honest, I don't know a lot of big Lasius colonies.
That is a very good point. I mean, they're beginner friendly, but as you say, are they beginner friendly enough to have big colonies? I think it's just they're beginner friendly, but people often find other species to go with and not grow Nigers big. It's true. You don't really see big colonies. So now we are on the topic of you've learned after making some mistakes with the Lasius Niger colonies. Do you have like what is the biggest thing you've learned since the beginning then?
Ooh, the biggest thing. I think the biggest thing is when I go on vacation, I always make sure I have a backup water source, because that was my second biggest mistake. And it killed my my beautiful Mesobaris colony. So that was colony number two. I noticed the tube was drained when I was on vacation, and I got back and the tube was completely dry.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yes.
The thing with the hobby is you learn as you go along, and I have a lot of rookies asking me questions, and yeah, you learn a lot in the first few years of handkeeping. So
yeah, you can ask all the questions you want, but sometimes you just have to experience it yourself.
Exactly. And I'm sure right now there's probably at least one, two, or three people who are sitting and doing exactly the same with their colonies in a too big nest, or maybe they have forgot to check the water, or we learn as we go along. But of course, Camponigo, you are also a YouTuber. And why did you start with YouTube videos?
That's a pretty spot on, to be honest. I remember your videos back in the beginning. You were very shy and telling about your mistakes, and it was really nice to see your personal side about someone on YouTube, which made it for me a lot more accessible to do something like that myself. And I remember I was walking in my own town and I met another YouTuber, a Dutch one, which I was a big fan of as well. So basically, the two of you got me thinking and starting my own YouTube. And I already recorded a lot of footage on my phone. So I started by buying my first camera. And that's basically how I got started.
Wow, that is a lovely story. It's very nice that I've been helping to inspire you then.
Yeah, you've been a true inspiration. Thank you.
Ah, well, I'm glad to hear that. I always do enjoy watching your videos because they are very high quality with 4K and everything. And following that, Ants Inside have a question saying, how long does it take for you to make a video?
Ooh, that's a tough question because that depends a lot on how busy I am in the family. I recently moved to a new house and chores just have been stacking up. And it depends on the video as well. I think you know it for yourself as well that when you're filming your ants, it's not like you can tell them to eat something or tell them to move in a certain way. So sometimes you have 3 days of just filming nothing or waiting for nothing. So it's very differently, but usually it takes about a week or something, maybe a little over a week.
All right. So are you then scripting the videos or are you just recording what's going on and then just explaining everything?
I have small parts scripted, but usually I just go along with the colony. I have certain things I want to film. It's I know something is interesting or something I would like to show. So basically I film around it.
All right. So you are keeping a lot of big species. You have some completely massive colonies, which are completely insane to look at. And yet you also seem to have the Manica Rubida experiment covered. You have the Campanotus singularis that are doing well. You seem to have a little bit of everything. Do you have a favorite species of all of them?
No, not really. I do like my Polyrhaphus divus a lot. Those are my golden weaver ants. They're on a huge display in a 50 by 50 box, which is amazing to look at. And I love my singularis a lot. They're pretty hard to maintain and pretty hard to do some work in the tank. But they're an amazing colony and truly beautiful.
See, I may just have received a new singularis colony today from Yand Merchant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very nice. The last one got a little bit slammed by the Mesobarbrus escape. So what do you mean when you say they are hard to clean? Or
in the beginning, they were very shy. So as soon as I opened the box, every ant was running inside of the test tube. But when I make vibrations or when I put on the light right now, the entire colony goes into chaos mode or terror mode, as Lin likes to call it. But yes, they keep running around and trying to bite me. And it's pretty hard to clean. As soon as I touch a roach, they'll immediately grab the roach with four or five ants. They're extremely fast. It's, hectic.
All right. So you talked a little bit, you said a little bit that your Polyrhaphus divus had like a 50 by, I didn't know what's that, but that's 50 by 50 centimeters, right?
Oh, yes, correctly. Sorry. 50 by 50 centimeters and 60 centimeters in height.
That's mad. I did not expect it to be so big when I saw the videos.
Sorry.
No, go on.
It's very big. I think when you come into the ant room, it's definitely the biggest piece in the ant room that gets your attention.
All right. So, would you say that is your favorite setup? That is a question we have from Ange Union.
No, my favorite setup is touch and tubes. Usually I found my queens or my colonies from a test tube, and I'll basically just add more test tubes until the colony is big enough for a nest, because I think you know that as well. Filming them inside tubes is not really aesthetically pleasing, so I'd rather have my ants in a nest. And for me, it doesn't matter that much if I have them in acrylic or a whitetongue nest or a plaster nest. As long as the glass or the plexiglass is good on top, I'm good.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I really enjoy with your videos. You take time to get some very nice shots. And you also have switched a lot of your products out from plastic to glass to get this glass a little bit cleaner to look through, although you can't necessarily tell if you don't know. Is there You have a lot of different nest types. So looking away from your Topsion tubes and your Polyrhachis, do you have like a favorite nest type or like your Camponotus maculatus? They live in quite a few different nests, if I'm not wrong. Do you have like a favorite nest?
Yes, I think the aesthetic ants nests, the new line, I really like them. I really love them a lot because the nest I used for my Camponotus maculatus are no longer being made. So those nests are gone. Those were big, those were affordable. But now with the newer lines from aesthetic ants, I think I found myself a new favorite nest. I really like them. I have several of them. And I got even more coming in for the Singularis, so I'm hyped.
Are those the mesh nest or?
No, the white nests from aesthetic
Oh,
ants.
all right. Yeah, I must say it's definitely one of my favorite nests as well. They are very nice to look through and easy to maintain as well.
Yeah, correctly.
So, would you say the Polyrhachis is your biggest colony, or what would you say is the biggest colony you have?
No, yes, I think at the moment my Polyrhachis might be the biggest colony, or I have, or the maculatus, because when I was moving to my new house, I had a major die-off with the Campylobacter maculatus and also with the Floridanus, and both of those were my biggest colonies.
Oh,
And I also
that's
have another huge colony, which my Messor barbaris. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the huge tank.
yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Those are my major colonies at the moment.
I mean, you have quite a few massive colonies which we don't see too much of in the ant keeping community. One guy with a lot of big colonies. So you're clearly doing something right. Do you have a special treatment for your ants? Do you have like an weekly? Okay, well, rewrite the questions. What is your weekly ant maintenance? Is it daily maintenance or weekly maintenance, or what do you do?
Yes, I've daily maintenance for the bigger colonies. I feed the bigger colonies almost every day. Sometimes I leave gaps in between because I don't want them to go completely psycho when I'm on a holiday. But most of my colonies receive feeding 2 to 3 times a week, and their Myrmecia, the Pachycondyla, and the Manica rubida, they receive always 3 times a week. No less, or they might eat the brood.
Yeah, that is well, that's one of the scary things with those species. Now,
Yeah.
of course, you haven't heard the podcast that was just released 2 hours ago, aka last week, once this podcast comes out. We discussed a little bit. Hang on, no, that was 2 weeks ago, actually. We talked about a sugar bath for ants, basically. And how do you feed your big colony sugar? Do you feed them constant sugar or doses of sugar? Or how are you doing the sugar feeding?
Do you know those beetle jelly cups?
Yes.
Yeah, I feed my ants beetle jelly cups. I basically get myself some painkillers, the capsules from it, and I fill those up with beetle jelly, the right portion for every colony, around the right portion. So it's not too much, not too little, and it's always doing pretty good. I've been doing that for the past 2 years now. And the colonies seem to like it, and as you can tell, the colonies keep growing bigger and bigger. So I'm a big beetle jelly fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. When you look at your videos, you do often use it. And you're also roach fan. That's also your mainly preferred feeders. That's roaches, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%, yes.
And why? Why is that?
Roaches are big. They're easy to cut up. I always buy them in bulk because when you have over 30 colonies, and especially with the bigger ones, their maintenance and their food intake is pretty big. And it's not doable with crickets. Crickets go bad very quickly. Mealworms are not nutrition-wise the best for your ants. And the roaches, I can put them in the freezer. I get them out and I cut them open while they're still hard and solid. And I wait for an hour. And it's very easy to feed, very easy to clean. And the ants seem to like it as well. So it's a win-win. Right.
Yeah, so you buy roaches in bulk and then you freeze them all in bulk as well?
Yeah. I freeze them in bulk. I get red runners for my smaller colonies. And I have dubias for the bigger colonies.
Oh, that's very smart. That is very smart. So you have been keeping ants for quite a few years. And of course, as far as I know, the Freudanus, you were gifted them from Lynn, I think. So what would be the oldest colony you have that is still alive today that you've kept since the beginning?
Ooh, I think that's my Cruentatus colony. I've had a Cruentatus colony. I bought it, I think, 3 years ago. She did very terrible at the beginning. She kept eating her brood. When she got a first worker, she killed her first worker and ate her brood. But now she's thriving. She has around 50 or 60 workers, and that's not a lot for a three-year-old colony, but she has been basically eating her own brood in the first year. But yes, that's my oldest colony, and I think the one I'm the most proud of, because I pushed through, and it's truly a beautiful colony.
Yeah, I think you moved them into quite a big tank not that long ago. I'm just sitting thinking, did you do something where you also got another current tattoos or something?
Yeah, wow, how did you remember that? I have a second Cruentatus as well, which is from the year, the second year. And they're about the same size as the other Cruentatus right now. So I never had any problems with them. And they basically grew the same size as the Cruentatus, which is a year older. So I've got two at the moment.
Okay. I was thinking of keeping both of them forever then, or do you have some future plans?
I would love to mix them up eventually when there's mating season. And I know that's something that gets spoken about in the ant community, but it's not very successful. But that's something I'm willing to try out. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. That's very interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing when that's going to happen. So how big would you reckon the colonies are, like, number-wise? Do you think they're far away from getting a mating flight, or do you think it's relatively close now?
No, I think I need to wait about two more years. They got to the point of growing now where things are going a lot faster. Now, hibernation is over, so they're starting up right now. Both around 50 or 60 workers, and I assume that will go maybe to 200-300, so they'll be booming next year. And maybe the next year after I get flying ants, I don't know, I'm not sure.
That's definitely a long-term plan. That's how it is. That's how it is with ants quite often. So one of the common questions we ask people, or people ask themselves, or different content creators in general, is, do you have a dream species, like a species you've always, well, dreamt of keeping?
Well, I recently got my dream species. I got my Mimrasia, my first Mimrasia, through Ninuturu. That's another story, but I got it through Ninuturu. I'm really hyped about it, but I'm scared to be hyped. I'm not sure if you know the feeling. Scared to be hyped about a bull ant, which future is still not certain. But yes, I got my dream species.
All right, so you don't have any to-do list like you really want to do or get.
Yeah, a lot, a lot. I really want to have Uchifela Smaragdina, if I pronounce it right. I would like a lot more Mermaesia. I'm going to focus a lot more on very aesthetically pleasing outworlds that are easy to clean as well. I have a lot more coming up and a lot more dreams that I'm about to fulfill.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah.
I love that you just used the species name. I think it was Green Weavers you talked about, or is it was it
Yeah.
something different? Yeah, all
Yeah,
right.
that one. Uchifela Smeragdina, I'm not sure.
No, I have no idea. I've never tried to pronounce it.
Yeah, I always try to pronounce the Latin name. I always try it. I'd rather fail at trying the Latin word than saying the English or European word.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning I did that as well. Now I don't know anymore because I've seen my old videos where I'm saying Herculeanus very, very, very weirdly. That's the thing. People can comment you in the comments. So of course, outside of ant keeping, you are a little bit of a well, bodybuilder. And Gecko ask how's it going with your bodybuilding, and is there a story behind it?
Yes, there's a story behind it. Bodybuilding is going pretty good. I'm back at it since June now, I believe. And I've been training for 4 years in total. I got hit by a car, so everything went completely shut down. But I've built some mass again. I'm about 100 kilos at the moment. And I'm trying to get back in shape in summer, so hopefully I'll be completely ripped in summer.
You got hit by a car. Was
Yes. Oh, that's
this?
I was on a mountain bike. I was a huge fan of mountain biking. And I got hit on purpose with a car. I can't talk about it too much because there's still a trial going on, but yes, I got hit by a car on purpose when I was on the bicycle, and that got me out of bodybuilding. I totally stopped it for about 2 years. My knee was bad, my shoulder was bad, my back was hurting, and I'm finally in a state where I'm back at bodybuilding, and I finally have gained my strength back. I got some spare time to go gymming as well, so.
Damn, that is one
Yes.
story I did not expect to hear.
I can imagine. I had a very hectic life for the past yeah, I can say the past 3 years.
Wow, yeah, that's one story. So you, of course, a dad of three.
Yeah, correctly.
What do you, how old are they, and what do they think of ant keeping then?
I've got a daughter of 2 years old. That's almost 8, and I've got a son that's 12. Well, obviously the youngest one is clueless. She's on my laps watching my videos, including yours. I'm pretty
Oof.
sure she's well familiar with your voice. The oldest one is not a huge fan of insects altogether, but the middle one I caught with her. I caught Alasius flavus. I caught Alasius niger. So I think she will be a big fan when she gets a little older.
Is she keeping any ants, or is it all in your room then?
No, she had her Lasius flavus did very well, but just before we started moving, her colony died, and she lost her motivation. I can imagine she was pretty hyped every time when she got into the ant room to feed the ants. So her colony died. She was very sad, and I think maybe next year or the year after, I'm going to get her a colony again.
Yeah, that's the hard thing with ant keeping. Not always doesn't always go well. So
No.
we have yet another question.
Oh
Now you
yes.
will probably pronounce this better than me. Melchior?
Oh, Melchior, yes.
Yeah. He's asking, have you ever received free ants? And yeah.
Ooh, Oh, maybe it's fun to mention. Melchior is the YouTuber, the second YouTuber that motivated me to go into YouTube.
Oh.
So you're the one, and Melchior's number two. But yes, I've received a lot of free ends, to be honest. Holy, I got some from Ninuturu. I have a Petshi Condyla from Ninuturu. I got my Mermaidia from Ninuturu. No, I paid for the Floridanus. My Singularis is from Ninuturu. I received free ends from Aesthetic Ends. I've received free ends from Endcore.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. Did I
I mean,
miss anyone?
we need to talk a little bit about why Lynn is sending so many free ants out. That's gee, that's not so good, Lynn.
Well,
so to all
maybe you can ask her yourself.
yeah, I mean she's listening in right live now right here. She said rather he sent Mesa Barbarist. Melchior.
Melchior sent me his Messer Barbarus, and I got a Camponotus Lateralis from him.
So is he also an ant YouTuber, or is he just a YouTuber of something different?
He was a Dutch ant YouTuber, but he's in a point in his life where he's growing up and he has other responsibilities, so he cut back on half of his colonies. I got some, he gave some away, and he still has some, but the YouTube is something in the past, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that's how it is for many, sadly.
Hi, it's Xeed from Pour More Art. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ant Pod, and please visit my Ant and Spider shop at www.pourmoreart.ca. We're a Canadian business shipping ant and spider keeping supplies worldwide, specializing in test tube accessories and a variety of hybrid formicaria, glass outrolls, and enclosures. Enjoy the show.
But saying that, we have also a lot of people out there who may be thinking of starting a YouTube channel, or maybe just following your footsteps. Do you have any advice for people who may just be starting antkeeping or maybe wanting to start YouTube?
For the people that wanting to start antkeeping, please look further than only Lasius, like we talked about earlier. I don't think Lasius is for beginners specifically. If I were to give advice to someone and maybe start off with a nice Camponotus, I would say a nice Camponotus, maybe Nicobarensis, Lignipurda, Cruentatus. It's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit more exotic because where we live in the Netherlands, it's not like you see a Camponotus Lignipurda walking on the ground. So yes, I'd say that. And for YouTube, I think everybody needs to find his own way instead of trying to copy someone else. So just show what you would like to show. And if you are showing what you are exactly excited about, it will show in the clips.
That is some, that's some very nice advice.
Yes, it's deep, isn't it?
No, I mean it's true. It is really true. You need to start for the right reasons. But we can put it out now. Hashtag cancel Lasius.
I started because I wanted to show the things I liked. I know you and Aesthetic Ants did a lot of for the beginning YouTubers, like how did you put up a test tube or how to start an ant colony. And that's not something I'm aiming for. I'd like to show my colonies, my expertise, my knowledge, and not per se the beginning stuff.
No, so, I mean, it's the funny thing is I started just because I had the ants and I loved watching YouTubers having ants and then following them grow. So the day I got my first colony, I just grabbed my phone and recorded them and put it on YouTube. And then slowly, as I got followers and friends and all of this, I changed a lot. But I think it's a very cool way to start YouTube, just to document your own ants. So like you say, do it for why you would like to do it.
Yes, exactly. You're basically building your own database. And of course, we have a voiceover and etc. But basically, that was in the beginning, that was my idea, just creating a database online where I can put all the movies I made, because we make a lot of movies, and it would not just be sitting there on a hard drive somewhere. So yes, just film whatever you would like to see for yourself and what you would like to show. That's basically the best advice I can give someone that will start with YouTube.
So how long did it take for you to start before you realized that you would like to get some proper equipment?
That was after Jordan Dean, after your videos, after Ants Canada. There's quite a difference in a phone and in a true macro lens. And the three of you got me thinking, I need to up my gear. I really need to step up my game. So I remember I asked you, I think through Instagram, what lens are you using? And it's the price scared the crap out of me, man. I can remember it. Oh my God. The price was terrible. And asking my wife, oh. So, I remember asking her if I could get a macro lens, because it would be a good investment for the future. But yes, that's basically when I thought I need to step up my game. So thank you, Alex, for making me pay a lot of money.
Yeah, because you did end up going with the lens I sent.
I exactly bought the same lens. I know you have an upgraded version of my camera, but we have the same lens, and you have your extension tubes, which I'm not using. I'm quite content with my lens as it is for now, because as you know, if you film in 4K and you crop it, it's still pretty decent footage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't use my extension tube for Campanotus or larger ants. It's mainly when I have like Tetramorium bicarinatums or Flavus, these smaller species, that's when I really put the extension tube on. I didn't use it for the first like half year I got it, because it wasn't worth it. So you definitely, I mean, the thing is, I didn't even pay full price for my macro lens, because my brother worked at Canon back then, so I got like 20% off.
Oh,
But
that's so nice. And 20% off on the price of the lens, that's a lot. No, we paid the real deal. We paid the full amount of money.
Yeah, I don't know. It's,
Unfortunately.
yeah, I think it's about 1,000 euros or a bit more than that, something along those lines for those all those sitting out wondering. So.
Yeah, correctly. It's a little bit over 1,000 euros, correctly. It's insane.
Yeah,
So
the thing is with.
for the ones that want to start with YouTube, maybe just start with a phone that has a decent macro clip on it, because the prices to get started with cameras is insane.
Yeah. But the thing is also they last forever. Those lenses, they don't break. This lens will be working for the next 10 years, 15 years until I drop it or something.
Yeah,
Yeah, they don't.
correctly. And if we
So.
drop it, we can repair it, so it will last for a very long time. But yes, it was a huge investment.
It definitely something to think about when you, if you wanted to use videos a bit more seriously. But although I wouldn't really say, like you also say, you can get some very cheap phone lenses, and you can invest a little bit in that and see rather that is something you like doing. I find that a lot of people, if you are sitting out there thinking you want to do YouTube videos, try to just make some not necessarily good videos, but just try to put out a video once a week for about a month or 2 months, because a lot of people tend to fall out those first 2 months because they realize that it takes a lot of work, or it may take more work than they thought, at least. So there may not be reason to go out and buy a macro lens unless you know that you will use it a lot.
Indeed,
That is my tip.
that's what we talked about earlier, a little bit earlier. We both started YouTube posting every week, but it's just not doable. It's with the especially with the lives we have, the double life and the work, it's not doable.
No, and I think it's very important nowadays. The thing I found myself looking, I looked at my old videos, and I am a my biggest critic. I am the biggest critic in the world of my own videos. I hate almost every single video. I'm not satisfied. And I found out that my old videos, I didn't like any of them. All of them, I had too many small mistakes. And I realized, you know what? If I'm going to do this for the next 10 years, I need to say quality over quantity. Stop weekly upload and make every video better than the last one for real. So that's why I personally stopped doing the weekly uploads. I still do the daily shorts pretty much, but I mean, the shorts are very low quality. They're not meant for ant keepers. They're meant to get people into looking at ants. And then hopefully the YouTube channel can bring them into potentially keeping ants as well.
Yeah, correctly. I'm doing the same thing at the moment. I'm trying to do daily shorts, but even daily shorts, it's pretty hard to do because you film, you want that attention span to keep, so you make clips of maybe 5 seconds. So it's still a lot of work. But yes, if you want to start out with YouTube, just try to keep up for 2 or 3 months, see how you like it, because it's tough. And like you say, quality over quantity. I have to say, don't you ever feel pressure that you need to make something, need to upload something, that it needs to be good? Let's say when you get something from Foronto or from Aesthetic Ants, I think sometimes pressure plays a role as well.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think for me, I think I'm more pressuring myself rather than I know that I have received. I mean, I've received this very cool nest from Foronto, and I know that I want to earn my trust with them to make a good video. But more than that, I see all of these opportunities to record and make a cool video about the nest. And now that I'm doing it, I'm not satisfied with the results I'm making. I mean, it's by far my most edited video ever, I think. And I'm sitting and looking at it, and I'm not happy, but I know it's above and beyond my normal video, so I'll keep doing it and just see if I can make the next video better from the get-go. But I think it's important to just know that you need to make these videos for you, because it took me about a year, I think. I mean, I received 100 subscribers quite quickly due to me doing fake subscribers and stuff like that. And I mean, I know it's an interview and now it's gone a little bit into YouTube talk, but it's not worth it to go into the fake YouTube subscribers. They will not click and YouTube will say, oh, people don't like your videos. So I think you need to start for the right reasons, and views are not everything. They will come if you keep posting, the views will come eventually.
Yeah, I'd rather have a short group of people that actually like my content than I have a bigger audience, which just click by it or skips my content. So although I only have close to 1,300 subscribers, I'm really glad with the short and the tiny group I have. I'm really thankful because I actually feel proud when I'm posting something and I'm getting amazing feedback, and that feels great. I'm posting something that I like and I'm getting the feedback I would like. But like you say, I can be pretty perfectionistic about a video, especially when you just posted it or when you finished it and you're about to upload. I don't want to say insecure about it. I think just unhappy. Not it's not perfect.
Exactly. I have the same problem.
Yeah, there are edges. You know, sometimes it's the voice, sometimes it's the music, or sometimes it's a small thing in the clip. But I think it will never go away.
No, and the thing is, if you see the video 2 years later, generally you are satisfied. I think it's a lot when you're working with the video every day and you hear it again. And I personally hear my videos like 15 times before I put them out. I get so upset with my videos because I've heard them so many times that I actually get a little bit annoyed with them. And that also just makes sure that every single small mistake, next time I play the video, I find the same mistakes, then I rage almost and I fix it.
I have the same exact thing. I can repeat it over and over and over and over until even my kids say, am I hearing this again? Please, can you stop it? Okay, I'll go to the end room. So yes, being a YouTuber and being as perfectionistic as we are, it's pretty challenging sometimes.
So what software are you using? Are you editing on your phone or laptop, or how do you edit the videos?
Currently I'm editing on my phone. It's a really basic software, but it works. And even rendering with the 4K, it keeps up on my Samsung, so I'm quite content. But I would love to start editing in Resolve as soon as the end room is finished.
That's very impressive that you edit on the phone. How do you then put the videos from your camera to your phone?
That's a pretty long process. The videos go from my camera to my computer. On my computer, I make the videos shorter, so I'll only get the clips that I really like. And the shorter clips are going to my phone where I edit the video. So yes, it takes a lot of time, but for now, this works the best. And it also works really well if I want to keep mixing this with my family life. In this way, I can edit on my sofa, I can edit in the car, I can do a lot of work in the meanwhile.
That's really impressive. I did not know that you could even do that. That's big respect, also because you of course get the chance to go away from. I mean, I'm always stuck in the end room when I'm editing, which is sometimes not too good for my relationship because I'm in here too much. So I think it's brilliant to do it on your phone as long as you're able to do what you want to do. So, Camponico, what are the plans for 2023?
Ooh, I got some big plans for 2023 coming up. I'm getting some amazing species. I won't be purchasing them.
Oh.
Some of my colonies were are going to leave, and I'm getting some colonies in return. I'm hoping to finish up my ant room in 2023. And my bigger colonies will receive some amazing do-it-yourself outworlds. I'm not going to tell too much, but truly, if it's going to work out like I hope it's going to work out, it's going to look absolutely amazing. But I got some huge, huge, huge things coming up in this year.
I just remembered a thing. You were on the Hall of Fame show back when I did that, when you were actually representing the DIY side of fan keeping. Have you gone away from
Yes.
that, or are you still, or are you still your Danish word, or are you still mainly focusing around DIY? Of course, we've talked a little bit about the aesthetic white tongue line, but what's the lineup?
I'm still in the do-it-yourself thing. Like I mentioned, I just moved to my new house, which meant my working spot vanished, so I no longer had a place to work on my white tongue nest or do some other do-it-yourself stuff. And my priorities was were with the house first. So the house is close to being finished. I recently finished my working spot, so I'll hopefully be working on April in May on my first do-it-yourself projects again. So really, I'm really happy. I'm really hyped. All the stress is over. I'm getting some free extra time. And I'm going to dive back into the do-it-yourself projects again.
Oh, that sounds very nice. You also mentioned before that you are still working on the ant room. To all those who don't know, what's this whole ant room working?
I basically, when we search for our new house, yes, that's how lovely my wife is. We search for a house where the ant room could be separated from the house. So
Oh.
I have a separate ant room. It's in the back of my garden. It's heated. It's always 24 degrees. And that's where I'm keeping all my ant colonies. And for right now, it's just my ant colonies, a desk, and two computers. But this will be my studio as well. So I'll be here in hopefully on the editing software DaVinci, in the new ant room, in the new editing room, and I'm hoping to finish it this year. And of course, I will be doing an full room tour and show everything. But you know,
That's
busy, busy, busy.
so cool. I did not know that it was a separate house almost. That's very cool.
Yes, I will.
So
If it's not ready, I will be showing it in the summer. I will just do a shorter room tour, but I'll be showing the house as well, a little bit of the house. a little bit of the garden and showing you guys that the ant room is completely separate from my house. And I gotta say, my wife loves that idea as well. No more ants in her house.
Yeah, I mean, escaping. Have you ever had any big escapes?
Yes. I had several. I've had a huge Tetraponera colony, which escaped several times. I remember when we got back from vacation that the Tetraponera escaped. So we were driving for hours. I was exhausted. And we got home, and my daughter mentioned there were ants walking on the stairs. I think that that was the motivation for my wife to get the ants separated from the house as well. But yes, I had several escapes.
What's the worst escape then? Is that the Tetraponera?
Yeah, without a doubt, that's the worst escape. Because Tetraponera can see you as well. So as soon as I walked up to the stairs, the ants went into hiding mode. And I still found ants 3 or 4 days later. And as you can imagine, that's not the ideal circumstances when you have 3 kids around.
No, because they also stink quite bad, right?
Yeah, they sting terribly. I got stung twice, and it's not it's far from pleasant.
Yeah, that's well, you learn from your mistakes. Or why did they escape? Was it a mistake, or was it just a?
I got them from someone else, and I was keeping them in his setup while he was moving for himself. And the setup was absolutely terrible. He had one of the acrylic plates. He put it the other way around, which made gaps. And if people know Tetraponera, as soon as they get a ledge where they can nibble on, they nibble right through. They won't stop. You can hear them nibbling the entire night. And before my vacation, I remember I got some duct tape and I almost completely emptied the entire roll about that that surface, but they got through. So it was kind of my own mistake. It was the mistake of the setup, but yeah, it was nowhere near fun.
Yeah, Lynn says she remembers a quote from WhatsApp saying, "Queen ant walking on the stairs."
Yes, oh, she has a wonderful memory. Indeed, my daughter was saying there's a queen ant walking on the stairs. And if you know Tetraponera, they kind of look like queen ants. So I immediately knew, oh no, it's the Tetraponera. And yes, it was terrible.
So you've said a little bit with what's to come for the ants and the ant room. Is there any upcoming ant videos on the YouTube channel?
About the ant room, you mean? Or
no, just general ant videos.
Yeah, I've got a video for aesthetic ants coming up. I like his new nests a lot. I received some ants and I will be doing an unboxing, and that will be the last unboxing in quite some time. And the videos after that will be showcasing my ants, my singularis, which has grown pretty big. I would like to fill my Pachycondyla, which I got from Ninuturu as well. My Polyrhaphus Divus has made a nest completely vertical, so I would love to show that as well. And my big Mesobarbarus, I need someone. The tank is so big that I need someone to help me lift it outside. And as soon as the person which is sitting next to me right now is helping me lift it outside, I'm dying to get that on camera as well.
All right, well, there's some cool things to look forward to then.
Yeah, a lot of cool things coming up.
Oh, well, very exciting stuff. So to all of those who don't know who you are, don't know where to find you, where can we find you, Campo Nico?
You can find me on YouTube, Campo Nico Ants. That's where I post the best content I have. And you can also find me on Instagram and on TikTok. But to be honest, they're just basically smaller updates and promotions. So I would advise to go to my YouTube, Campo Nico Ants.
All right. Well, with that, Campo Nico, I want to say thank you very much for joining here on the AntPod. It's been lovely talking with you and hearing a little bit of inside knowledge and what's to come in the future. Personally, I'm a little bit of a camera nerd, or at least I love talking all the equipment and how you record ants and all of this process. And I hope for all of you audience out there who may be a little bit more interested in the Ant side, that you weren't too bored. But I want to say thank you for joining, Campo Nico, and thank you for listening in. The Ant Pod releases new episodes every Wednesday, and care guides, well, here and there. If there's a topic you would like to hear about, please do send a message to the Ant Pod Instagram, and with that, you will hear more from us at the Ant Pod next week.